Please. And here at the Orchard Bible Fellowship, we've decided to go away from doing offertory next week. We're just going to put coin-operated pews. So if you want to sit in a pew, you're going to have to put a coin in. Same with the bathrooms, parking spots. They're only for an hour and a half because I preach for 45 minutes. So we're discussing how to do this differently. But until then, until the Lord has us do something seriously, here at the Orch Bible Fellowship, we think it's a pleasure to have your children on our campus. We think it's a... Do I really need that? Here, hold this. Now tell them something. Why do you like coming here? Tell them why you like coming here. Go ahead. Come on. Go. What's your name?
Robbie Rose.
Robbie, how long have you been coming to the church?
2 years.
You like coming here?
Yeah.
Okay, you'll get your dollar later. Thanks, Robbie.
Yes.
Go sit down.
Yes.
Give it to... Part of our youth group here that's just growing and growing. And, okay. So just sit on your wallet, close your purse. If you're not from here, this is a gift to you guys. We enjoy having your kids here. At the Orchard, they're the blessing. It's a blessing also to see adults change their lives, because I'll guarantee you, the volunteers that are here do it out of love. God has changed our hearts and minds. And so for us, it's just a blessing to have you here this morning. So we're just going to pray over the offertory, ask God to make us good stewards, and thank him for everything he's done. Heavenly Father, as we look at these children and we look at these families, and we're reminded of the world that they live in every day, they're under attack. Their morals are being tried. Their authority as parents and grandparents and families are being tried. Lord, and in this world that has so many dangers, we thank you for the Orchard Bible Fellowship and the other churches in town that reach out to the children. Not only for them to be one to you, Lord, but so that we might meet their parents and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and see people's lives being changed. And we thank you for the giving of people who just invest into your ministry. Lord, and frankly, you blow us away by what you do with what you get. You're a magnificent God. When one kid comes to know the Lord, there's not enough money in the world to pay for that privilege. And we get to see that every week here. And we get to see that in the lives of the kids we coach, the kids we teach, the families as we get to fellowship with them. And on behalf of the leadership here, Lord, we're humbled by the blessings you give us through these young people in Awana. And so this morning, Lord, as we worship you and we use Awana as a tool by which people are trained to be worshipers of you, approved workmen, not ashamed, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us for such a time as this to bring people out of darkness into your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job, you guys.
My dad, my car goes fast.
What we got it all. My car is 145 pounds.
Now I am.
All right. One of the things that we intended to mention this morning that wasn't talked about was the efforts from you guys last week on a couple of the things that were breaking in the church. One of those was our freezer and our kitchen, and you guys stepped it up, and on Friday, our new freezer was delivered to the church, and hopefully it'll be installed soon, so good job with that. And as you saw, the difference between the projector and the nice plasma screen TV, you almost need 3D glasses to see this one anymore. We're about halfway there in getting this one replaced. So keep it up. Do your best. Thank you. As we transition a little bit into today's message, as a person that's been involved with Awana since I was about, 5 years old till now I'm 36. A couple of my students are in here. You guys know my age, right? Blake, you know I'm 36, right? You do now. We really want to explain to you guys, like we do in this church, where does Awana find its legs in the Bible? And the scriptures are very clear on what we're supposed to do. And my last check in Awana, if you are a Sparky, you say 150 verses before you graduate to TNT. That's 150 verses that you've memorized that you have in your heart. If you're a TNTer, and you go through all the years in TNT, 423 more verses, which is a lot of verses. And if you can just draw on 10 of those in the next 10 or 20 years of your life, right? I mean, John 3:16, you will say at least 20 times in Awana as you go through the years. It's pretty powerful. I'd like you to open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy, please. Second Timothy 2. This is the second letter from Paul, and he wrote a letter to Timothy, who was young in his faith. He was one of the chosen to be a leader of a church, but he was nervous. He didn't know what to do. He needed encouragement. And this is such a great platform for Awana because we're trying to encourage young people, young believers, to continue their faith through those tough years of junior high and high school and off to college. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, and we'll be reading all the way to number 15. You then, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also endure or live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And this is where we get to the A-W-A-N-A of Awana. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins who listens. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Approved workmen are not ashamed. That is what Awana stands for.
I tried to convince Chad to preach for me while we go up to Heartland, in March, but he's like, no way. But we have our ways of getting guys to do that. And I'm so excited about where our leaders are going and how they're growing in this church, that when we talk about approved workmen are not ashamed, one way I know how that works, how do you know if what you've learned is effective for what you want to do? You have to exercise it. You actually have to do it. Approved workmen are not ashamed because of what? Because they actually do what they've been taught and they believe what they've been presented. And where this starts is where I want to encourage you as adults and family members. And if you just turn to the next chapter, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. You're going to see one of the most beautiful areas that describe how we ought to live one to another together in this ministry called the church. And this is why I'm so encouraged in this city that as a pastor, I can also be a coach. And I can take my faith onto the field with the kids. I don't beat anybody up about it. You know, I'm there to coach great baseball because we want to beat the snot out of Emmanuel someday. Can we just be honest about that? We want to take down Selma. We want to make sure Hanford stays in Kings County. Don't come bring that stuff up over here. The only team that's allowed to beat you guys, according to my gospel, is Exeter. Go Monarchs! And we train our kids. And people go, why do you do it with prizes? They get these little jewels, they get these vests. Because we know that we're motivated to win. And in Jesus Christ, He has won it all for us. And we want our kids to run to win. To run to win. That means as parents and adults, as a pastor, part of the elders and the teachers of this church, we are just committed to creating the most effective winning team we can. I don't know how to say it any other way. And we're not competing against other churches. We're competing against Satan and his minions and what he would like to do to your families and your children and our culture. And so we have to train up these kids to compete in the arena of the head and the heart as they go to school, as they get into high school, as they go to college, because they need to know that Christ has won the battle for them and they can have the confidence to live their Christian faith authentically. Real Christian faith, not based on the clothes you wear, but clothed in Christ alone. And so that's why we do this. 3:16 is one. 2 Timothy 3:16 is one of those verses that your kids are going to memorize over and over again. I'm going to start in verse 10, 3:10, 2 Timothy 3:10. And it starts off with a juxtaposition. It says, "You, however, have followed my teaching." Now, he talks about "you, however," because he talks about the last days. We're in the last days. And hey, guess what? Just because it's Awana Sunday doesn't mean we're not going to talk about Revelation. And we're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Because I believe we're in the last days. Now, it might be a long day, because a day is like 1,000 years unto the Lord. And it could seem like a long time for us. But in God's economy, it's not. We are in the last days. We're in that time where places we should be able to go for sound teaching are no longer there. I grew up as a young man going to Indian guides. Anybody ever do any Indian guides back in the day? Woohoo! Yeah, that was a YMCA thing. YMCA stands for Young Men's Christian Association. I was involved in their camping. We had to do memory verses. We were like the Boy Scouts, but Christian. I mean, full-on Christian. Just no apologies. We don't have the Christian. And we would do all the things Boy Scouts with the backpacking. We had all those things. Even how to destroy a flag properly. We did flag burning ceremonies to do that. But we had to learn all this stuff. Most of you might not know, but you can get a degree in camping. And I got it. I got an advanced degree in roasting marshmallows. And one thing about camping I've learned, the YMCA camps are no longer Christian. They don't worship Jesus Christ. They don't answer to Jesus Christ. They answer to their fundraising boards. Now, somebody says, well, you could get sued for that. And I'd say, well, then prove it. Prove your faith. So you can call anything you want. You can call Awanas. It's Awana, not Awanas. Approved workmen are not ashamed. But how do I know you're not ashamed? I have to put you in a position where people are trying to shame you for the gospel. And you have to stand up in front of those who would denigrate your faith. And you have to stand and give an answer. Jesus Christ said in the Gospels, don't worry when they drag you in front of the leaders, in front of the high-minded people, the judges, about what you're going to say. Because in that time to which you need to speak, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. What words are he going to give you? The words from Jesus Christ and the apostles' teachings. And that's why we do memory verses. We want this stuff so ingrained that they may not know where the exact verse is, but they may well do that because they have to remember it. But they know the verse. And even better than knowing the verse, they've lived it and they've owned it in their own hearts. And we're doing that today. How many of you as children, adults, as children, were Awana kids? Raise your hands. Yeah, not many of you. I hope in the next generation, they're going to go, whoa, because in there, we train kids to make a difference. Approved workmen that are not ashamed. Verse 3:10. You, however, have followed my teaching. Now, when he says that, that's the apostolic teaching of Paul. My conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. He's listing actual places. You have watched my life. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's a promise. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. And that's what we're doing with these kids. This is something as a parent, you could read to your kids. You can remind them at crucial times that if you're building into them, these are true promises for you. And how from childhood you've been acquainted with sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And here's the ticker. Get this. All Scripture is breathed out by God, meaning it is the exhaling of God into people that wrote the Scriptures. He infused them with the Word. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that for the purpose that the man of God or the woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We're going to get out on that track today, and I know how many of you as dads can't wait to see these things race. You know, not that you did all the work. We have generations of guys that are complaining. You're like, you know, my dad didn't build, you know, they race cars and they look at their dad like, why didn't you do more work, man? You know, why? Because we have this want to compete. But you have to have the right goal in mind to compete for the right prize. Paul says, I strive ahead for the prize that's set before me. And that prize is to hear our Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's life-changing. And every once in a while, you get off path. You forget what you're out there racing for. And with our kids, we're training them to be approved workmen, and they're not ashamed, who are not ashamed. But the best way for them to learn that is from you parents, from you adults in their lives, aunts and uncles, older brothers and sisters. You've got to model this to them. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in a place that is equipping you to do that, not just for your children, but your neighbors, for the kids in the class that go to school with your kids. If you're in a place where you feel like you're just putting in your time, you need to rethink what you're about. Because if you want your kids to be approved workmen that are not ashamed, then guess what you better do? Step up. For years, churches have designed a program where they're like, hey, you don't need to really do much in your kids. Just send them to our church. We'll do the work for you. Well, here at the Orchard, I got to tell you, that's not good enough. We can't do enough for these kids. We need to do it through you guys. We need to train you with the Word of God to parent your children, to be the growers of these kids' faith. And so I want to talk to you parents tonight about what you're doing in your kids' lives. The neatest thing about Awana is they bring home verses. They bring home things they need to work through. And you need to work through them with them. Now, I have to say that because I have to right now repent. I have not heard one of my kids' memory verses for about 4 weeks. That's my fault, not theirs. I'm not the one coming home asking them. Now, I take for granted they're getting them because it's our church and, you know, they're better do their job. And, you know, if not, Chad's fired. Of course, he doesn't make anything, so he's like, you can't fire me. But even as a pastor, I have to struggle and make sure I do what I need to do with my kids because of what Paul says here. Look what Paul says, and he does this again in Philippians. He tells them not to get caught up in false things, but he says, you, however, have followed my teaching. And then he said, not only teaching, my conduct. And then he says something that I think, frankly, is a game changer. He says in there, my aim of life. That parents, one of the best things you can do for your children as they're being grown to be a workman not ashamed is to give them an aim in life by showing them that you have one. And most people in their lives, they go around just getting to the next paycheck, just getting to the next grade, just getting to the next point, just let's just make it. But I want to encourage you to have an aim and a purpose in life for these kids. To grow your children up, that's your aim, to please the Lord with what you've done with these kids. You can't make these kids do anything. Believe me, we try. But you can demonstrate your faith to them. Now, I want to give you a little out here. You might say, well, I'm not always perfect. Awesome, because God's not calling you to be perfect. He's calling you to repent. You're a picture to your children when you say, I'm sorry. You're a picture to your children when you say, you know what God says about that? Daddy said this, but I was reading my Bible this morning and the Word says something different. I'm sorry. This is what the Word says. Being humble and being students of the Word and applying it, that will change the lives of your children. Not only your children, it's going to change your marriage. And if you're grandparents, you've got an awesome responsibility to reinforce the faith of these children. And if you're not a Christian and you're going, well, we're just training a bunch of mind-numb robots to be Christians, in Christianity, we can't make anybody do anything. They've got to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as hard as we're working these kids in Awana, we want to work you even harder. That's why we've decided to be an outreach church, not an in-reach church. Awana only works as we're reaching out to people. And the day that it becomes an in-reach church of this church, we ought to just shut the whole thing down. Because we need to always reach out and see people's lives changed. So, with that in mind, as you watch these races today, and you watch the joy in these kids competing, have you set a goal for them? Have you set a goal for your family? And I'd like you to consider that. Set a goal and then compete to get there. Look at your life as an opportunity to excel. Set the standard for your kids. Don't be a hypocrite. Demonstrate what it is you would like them to learn. and you want to see joy, you will know a joy deeper than you've ever experienced before. Because you're going to fall in love with God's message. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. All of it. On Thursday morning, or Friday mornings and Saturday, and Friday, or Thursday nights rather, Thursday nights and Friday morning, we have studies that go on here. We have studies that go on throughout the week. And I would like to encourage you women to be involved learning the word so that you are approved workmen that are not ashamed. For you guys, we have studies going throughout the week at Starbucks and over at Denny's and in different places. I've got a crew, and I want to invite you men to this on Thursday nights. We have Man Up at the River, down on the river, and if you want to know more information, come talk to me about it. But it's for guys who want to actually read the Bible and apply it, and we will be praying for each other as we do it. We're going to be sitting around a fire out in the open. We're going to be talking the way men talk about things, and we're going to be talking about using God's gifts for His pleasure in our lives. It's hard to preach a better sermon, and I'm not even getting close. Better sermon than what was already preached by Chad. Quite honestly, approved workmen are not ashamed. And if that's good enough for your kids, let me ask, where does it hit you? If you demand that of your children, then you've got to be leading them. Dads, guys, look at me for a second. The problem with American church and Christianity is not the wives' fault. It's the husbands and the men not standing up and leading approved workmen that are not ashamed. Amen? The good news is God has called you to that. And if He calls you to it, He will get you there. And He's given you the perfect opportunity to do it. Reading the Word, applying the Word, and living it honestly in front of your family as an approved workman who's not ashamed. And women, I will say this, nothing's going to scare you more than an on-fire husband for Christ, because he's going to do the craziest things that God calls him to do. And it won't be church like normal. It'll be like church on fire for Jesus. And in this day and age, we don't need normal. We don't need compromise. We need conviction. Amen? So if you're looking for a faith beyond Sunday mornings and Sunday night, Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, if you're looking for a faith that's on fire, I'd encourage you to get to know the Awana curriculum that your kids are doing and your grandkids are doing. And I encourage you to sit down with them if you don't have any other outlet, and you work it with them. And I know this, and I can pray this with perfect confidence, God will change your heart and minds for His purposes, and He can use kids to do it. We need volunteers for listeners. We need volunteers to help with the dinner before, because we want to reach out to people and we want to introduce them to a Christ who lives. Amen? Amen? And it lives to change our lives. And that's what's going on with your kids. And it won't stop when they graduate from TNT. We're going to continue to train them to be workers who are not ashamed. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to get about the other business of the day and the race and the fun. But I want to encourage you, dads, I hope this haunts you this week. I'm praying it does, really. To be an approved workman, not ashamed. Led by the Word of God. Equipped to do every good thing and deed that God calls you to. And if you're in a church where that's not what they want, leave them. And I'll say it straight up. Leave that church and find another church that's on fire for Jesus Christ, getting the job done according to the Word. Times are short, and your kids' lives are too valuable than to dink around with a bunch of milquetoast Christians who are just satisfied with not seeing anybody come to Christ. We got too much to do, and our Lord is too great to accept such a meager gift as just going to church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, not only for the kids that are here, but the other Awana programs at the Covenant Church and at the Baptist Church. Lord, there, we could do Awana every day of the week and reach out to all the kids in this town and and see them come to know you and realize there are other places that need the same ministry. And not only this ministry, but the ministry of the church to bring it to them. And Lord, we thank you that you did not call us to be third place, fourth place people. You asked for us to compete to win. And we're training our kids. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Lord, may you make us approved workmen who are parents who are not ashamed. Approved workmen who are teachers, educators, family members, and friends who are not ashamed. That in the end we might hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And until that time comes, Lord, may we run to win. Train these kids to be overcomers in this world and not overcome by it. And with that in mind, Lord, we thank you for all the fun we have in Awana. The off-the-hook, crazy fun we have. Because that is a picture of you, who you are, Lord. That you are a God of creation and recreation. And all these things serve you. And your end is to see people saved, to give you the glory you deserve. In your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand. In the immortal words of every race car driver that's ever sat on the track and had to hear these, I'm going to take my mic off because I don't want to blow your ears out. But I want you to think about what you're going to do this week, not only today, but the rest of your life. If you are running a race, then let me give you this simple admonition. Gentlemen, start your engines and then let it rip. Run the race this week. For Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go have some.